Hello and welcome to the Inner Take podcast. My name is Ramon Gardella and I'm your host. The Inner Take is a podcast for musicians, a space to talk about what happens inside us when we make music, the thoughts and feelings that shape how we play. I will share my experience as a musician, what I've learned along the way, and I will talk to other musicians about their journey. This podcast is not about technique, it's about what happens inside us when we make music. So, if you are a musician, stay right there. Welcome to the Inner Take. Let's begin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Inner Take podcast once again. Today, a very special episode because I have next to me a new guest, which is a good friend and a colleague. His name is Cristóbal Gajardo. Cristóbal is a percussionist, he's originally from Chile, and he's currently living and performing in Hof, which is a city located in southeast Germany. He teaches there at the music school and plays also with the orchestra. He has lived in 10 different cities across 3 countries and has studied at several universities with outstanding teachers such as Robert Van Sais and Peter Sattler. But Cristóbal is not only a high-level musician, he's also a high-level athlete. He's a runner who has completed 4 marathons and many half marathons. Through sport, he discovered something that I find fascinating: the way we talk to ourselves as musicians and how mental training in sports can help us understand and improve that inner dialogue. I'm very happy to have him here today, and let's hear what he has to share with us. Hello, Cristóbal. Welcome to the Inner Take. How are you feeling today?
Hello, Ramon. Thank you very much for the introduction. I'm feeling great. Thanks so much. I will not say that I am an athlete. I'm just like a runner enthusiastic. But thank you for great and nice introduction.
It's so nice that you are here talking with me and with us at the Inner Take podcast. Cristóbal, I would like to start with the first thing. You have lived in 10 different cities and 3 countries, which is a lot for many people, also for me. And emigrating is a big topic, it's a big issue. And my question for you would be, when you look at this process today, so all the things that you lived during the last years, what is your feeling with this? And what spaces do you think you needed, or what did you feel was missing, or how was this experience for you?
I mean, it was a great experience. I don't regret anything from what I lived and what I did and what I experienced in these different cities and countries. I think as a person, I try to learn from everything. And yeah, it started, I was born in Santiago, but then I grew up in the north of Chile, in Antofagasta. Then I moved to Santiago. Then I was in the States, different 3 cities, and then Germany. I think I learned a lot from the culture, from the people, from the... Sometimes one person learned also from what is not supposed to be like that. You know, it's like these famous things as you learn from everybody and you learn from every things that happens to you. Sometimes you also learn how you should not do it and how you should not teach, or how many things you should not say. And this is also important. It's also a lesson.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And you left your country, your hometown, Chile, when you were, how old were you?
I was 20. I was 20. I moved to Santiago 20. When I, I was 16. Then I was 20. I went to the States. And then when I was in the States, I was in Pittsburgh 2 years, studying with Timothy Adams. Then I started my bachelor's with Robert Van Sais in Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, 4 years there. And then I did my master's in Yale University, also with Robert Van Sais, for 2 years in this small city, New Haven, northern from New York. So, yeah, that was definitely a fantastic experience. I mean, to be in Yale University studying with him and having fantastic teachers all over the place, it was really great. Fantastic experience.
So now that the name Robert Van Sais came up, Cristobal contacted me when he heard the InnerTech podcast, and he told me, Ramon, great that you are talking about this. And, you know, I had a teacher who was working with me and with all the students about this emotional size of the players, and this was Robert Van Zeise. So if you like, you can tell us how was this process starting with him, and what were the things he did to not only to talk about music with you, but to talk about emotions or the way we feel when we play.
Yeah, I mean, this what you are doing with this podcast, it resonated a lot because it remind me of how many things that Van Zeise did with us as students. And I say with us because he used to teach in masterclass format. So, of course, you had your lesson, but when he was living at the time in Hawaii, so he was traveling to the continental United States, and then he was teaching like hardcore, like he was 3 days at Peabody, and we were having our lessons, private lessons with him, and then we had master classes where everybody have to be there. Timpani masterclass, marimba masterclass, snare drum masterclass, or chamber music masterclass. Sometimes we had also masterclasses about topics like, okay, how do I do it after I finish school? What is coming up to me after I finish school? How do I deal with composers and many things that there's the business of music, not only just playing for him. So I feel like I was really well prepared to the real world, what they say, after you finish school. And one of the topics that resonated a lot, it was he always talked about these two hemispheres of your brain, the left and the right hemisphere. He always said the left hemisphere is all the logical thinking and it's all the technique. For example, let's take non-percussion. It's a Sherazade third movement. There is a small snare drum passage that's very difficult and very nerve-wracking, soft playing snare drum. And he always talk about, for example, in this passage, don't think with your left side, that is like talks about your technique, how I move my arms. Think about your right side, with your right side of the brain, which is all the creative thinking, all this thinking of Sherazade and chi dancing and all these images, which gives you the emotions and gives you the essence of the piece. And when you go to this side of your brain, when you think about not only of the notes, on like you have an image of this piece, there is no fear in this side of the brain. There is no fear. It's just like relaxing and enjoying the music. And you just go inside the sound and there is no fear. Things function well better. It's just like relaxing. I mean, of course, you need to have this technique and you need to practice. You need to do the job to practice and be able to play that. But then in the moment when you are on a stage, when you are about to play, is thinking about these other thoughts, about these creative thoughts gives you a more relaxing and calms you down in front of, in the stage or in front of people.
And this was also, you worked this with him in the lessons, or this was just the things he told you during this auditions, class auditions?
In these lessons, I mean, in the lessons and in the masterclass, because in the masterclasses you were supposed to play in front of people, for example, let's say a marimba piece. And then a marimba piece, you had to play from, I don't know, 20 measures of this marimba piece, really hard marimba piece, everybody prepare. And then you play in front of your students. So there was this very nice atmosphere in the percussion studio where you were friends with them. Then you went out to eat after the masterclass and you talked with your, they were like friends and everybody worked really close to each other. And then you play in front of them. And these are things that he talked to me and to everybody in the masterclass. And then in your private lessons were things that you were working with him also. I mean, one of the things I remember, it was like the preparation for a piece, a marimba piece. When you start studying a piece, he said, okay, everybody leave your sticks down because we're going to talk about this. who is the composer, why he wrote this piece, what does it mean, this piece, what, I mean, the whole story behind the music, because this is extremely important. This helps you understand the piece and give a message as a musician, as an artist, to give it to the audience. I mean, you don't just play what is on the page. You just give a story. You say a story, and to give a story, you need to have this information. What is this piece about? What is the composer? In which moment of his life wrote this piece? Like this research, and also how this piece and this story, I mean, you know the composer, you know what is about the piece, how this piece relates to you, to your personal story. I mean, you talk about a lot how that's important to you are a person first. Of course, you are a person first. You need to have stories. You need to have a story of life, and then you relate to this piece, and then you are the one on the stage giving a performance or saying a story of this piece. I don't know if I explain myself.
No, it's great. I mean, I can say two things, and the first is before an audition, you know, you did all the work. You invest all the hours practicing and making your best version of this, for example, this marimba piece. And to connect yourself with this left brain side, it's such a small move, but very intense, because you are suddenly thinking about something else. You are suddenly... And the work you did, I mean, your hands are going to respond. You're going to play the way you're supposed to. But then this kind of a fresh air that goes inside. I had also one experience with Bernhard Wolf. I played for him. And before I start, I wanted to start. And then he said, wait. Please think about a situation when you were happy making music. This feeling of happiness making music. And for me it was, okay. Mm-hmm. And I remembered one. So it connected me with something completely different at this moment, which I was very stressful because it was for him and, you know, played for him. And I think this is a great, great resource to work with students. Okay, so you said, Cristóbal, person, artist, musician. So why is this so important for you? And when did you realize about this order?
That's a very good question. When I realized, it is extremely important. I mean, this is how life works. I mean, this is the order. You were not born a musician. A person makes himself a musician. Persons is like interested in art and then finds his own art, music. One, a person comes to this world as a person first. That's the essence. And everything what's happened in your life, then you take these stories and you try to give a message, because that's what you want to be, a musician, an artist who gives a message. I mean, that is one of the most important things. I mean, we are human beings. And then we are human beings who decided to dedicate our jobs to art. And then we are specified in music, because there is other people. I mean, I know people who makes different, they paint also, you know, and this is different kinds of art. I remember when I was very young, a teacher told me that don't forget that you are a person first. Now that you tell me when you asked me, when do you find out about this? I remember very clearly when I was like maybe 12 years old, and I was like really into percussion. I listened to a lot of music in my house. Was always music. I was always listening to music at home. Both of my parents listened to opera and classical music the whole time. They know operas better than me. I mean, it's crazy. But this teacher told me, don't forget that you are a person first, always. Because there is sometimes people who just go into the music and they just forget that they are a person, that the one is human, and you can make mistakes, you know. And these mistakes always sometimes help you to create stories that you can tell and through music. I mean, it's one of the most important things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. And how is now being a teacher and work in these things? How can you work on these aspects with your students?
Yeah, I mean, I was being coach for a youth orchestra for a couple of weeks. They were doing Scheherazade, and it was very interesting because they were from 13 until 20 years old, the range of age. And we talk about Scheherazade. A couple of them knew a bit. A couple of them did not knew so much. So I made them talk to themselves, and we start working on the music, and just like seeing how this process of having a story as a person, you can reflect it on your music. And then in my day-to-day job, I have a small student. I mean, there's young students. They're 7, 8 years old, and I have older too. But it's, I think you can also work with these very young students. For example, there is a snare drum etude that they have to play. It's not so long. I mean, it's 10 measures. And they come to the lesson, and I told them at the beginning of the lesson, you know, you're going to play this etude from memory. And they don't believe me and says, no, it's impossible. I cannot do that. And so I say, yes, you can. Yes, you can do that, and I'm going to prove you. So we start working 2 measures, 4 measures, little by little. And then comes the point, close to the end of the lesson, I say, okay, I close the book, I take the book away, and say, okay, play the etude from beginning to end. And they do it. And and this moment at the end of the lesson, when they finish the etude, they play it completely from memory. They look at me. This face is like, I didn't know I could do that. And you just pull out that out of me. And this is an unbelievable moment as a teacher. I mean, just to see their happiness and just like realizing the capacity that they have that they did not explore before. I mean, this is really amazing as a human being to just see that on a small, in a very young percussionist. And I think also this is also for us adult people. We don't know where are our limits. We can do way more than we think we can. It's normally we limit ourselves, but there is always more. And this is also this positivity to think you can do it. I mean, you just need to believe on it. Of course, do the work. Of course, it's hard. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm just saying that you can do it. You just need to push maybe a little bit more and have a plan how to do it.
Yeah, sure. It's great. So they are grateful to have you as a teacher. It's very nice.
I hope so.
So, and then... in the Inner Tape podcast, we have the idea that every person has an inner source, so has an inner world full of emotions, sensations, ideas, experiences, things that are with you since the time you were born, since that you get through experiences through life. And one of the things you have, which I think is really fascinating, is sports. So how did sports enter your life, and how did it become a tool for self-knowledge?
Well, sports entered my life later on. I mean, 2019 probably was where I really start hard on sports. Before, I just like a normal person, just did a bit, a couple things, but I was really concentrate in music and studying. I start running in 2019, a lot. And once I said, hey, maybe I can run a marathon. Why not? And I put this objective in front of me, and I decided, okay, let's just train for it and do it. And then I start realizing, this is again to what we talked before. It's just like, say, okay, I have a marathon. I sign up for it. I pay the fee that you have to pay and start training. And I was like, oof, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I remember when I ran my first marathon, I was really afraid. Not because I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. Because, I mean, there's a couple of stories of people. It's really, really hard in your body. And I was like, wow, I just really need to know how I'm gonna try to finish this race. And if it's going to affect my body. I mean, of course it's going to affect my body, but in which way? And this process of like preparing for a full marathon, 42 kilometers, made me learn about myself, about my body, about how do I react, what do I want. I mean, when you are running, there is a really good book that I will recommend. This is from Haruki Murakami. It's one of my favorite novelists. That is called What Do I Talk When I Talk About Running. In this book, he's a great marathonist, and he talks about the hardest part of the marathon is from the 35 kilometer, from the 35 to the 42. That's the hardest because you are so extremely tired and you need to keep telling your brain to keep doing that. Although your body says, no, please stop, 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 stop right now. See that bank? Please sit down there. See that banana they give you? Just grab it and just stay there. And this is amazing because it's this is one of the things I learned with marathon. This is a fight, your body against your mind. And I mean, one of the famous marathonists, Eliud Kipchoge from Kenya, he says, I don't run with my legs. I run with my mind. Because it comes to a point. I mean, 35 kilometers or probably early, I don't know where. Everybody's different. It comes to a point that your body just cannot anymore and you need to keep going with your mind.
Wow. And this is the inner dialogue you have running. How can you compare this inner dialogue with music? Because we addressed also in the podcast that musicians and myself as well, I had a lot in the past, now it's a little bit better, this thing to, you know, to say to you, you're not enough, you're not practicing enough, you are not doing correctly, you are going to mess up when you play in front of your teachers and so on. And I can imagine to finish a marathon, if you have these thoughts, at the kilometer 35, you're out. I mean, there's no way you can with these mindsets to go on. So how are the inner dialogues in music and in sports for you?
This is a great question, Ramon, because this is probably the same. I mean, many people say, I don't say it, not only me. Other people say a musician is like an athlete. I mean, extremely high level athlete is the same as a musician because the thoughts are the same. I mean, when I was running my first marathon, there is so many thoughts that come to your head. I mean, first your left leg hurts. Then a couple minutes, then the right leg hurts. Then, no, my legs are okay. Actually, my shoulder hurts. And these thoughts come and go. They just come and go. The thought of stopping, how many times I thought, like, what am I doing just running here alone? I remember 19, I ran my first marathon. Then until 2020, there was a pandemic. I ran two marathons and I organized myself, quasi. I put I remember on a tree, a banana. I just ran the distance by myself. And I remember thinking, what am I doing here? Just like alone running. It's just like, yeah. But this, and this is the same thing with music. Thoughts come and just let them go. It's just a thought. It's okay. It's okay to think about things. Everybody has the thought. I mean, I confess, in concerts, I think, oh, what am I going to eat after the concert? Oh, I'm going to do that. Or what do I have to do tomorrow? You know, maybe percussionists, we have more time free to think, you know. But I think also playing, while you're playing, there come thoughts. And you cannot shut that off. You need to, I think, once the person need to learn how do you deal with these thoughts. Okay, it comes a negative thought. It's like, why are you doing? You're not good enough. Okay, that doesn't help. Just let it go and remember, hey, you were practicing for this piece. You were practicing a lot for this concert and you are now playing the concert. You know this piece. These are better thoughts. I mean, maybe, and you are in the, let's put that marimba piece. You are in the middle of the marimba piece. Oh, now comes the part that is like waves. Okay, now the ocean, thinking about the ocean. This helps you. This helps you give a discourse. I usually have, I have a story with definitely with solo pieces. And when I play chamber music with violin, I have my duo. We have a story together and just have fun, just relax, just like, and something, when something goes wrong, well, it just goes wrong. Okay, we are humans. We make mistakes, you know? But the way you talk to yourself is like, you cannot keeping slapping yourself with the whip the whole time, you know? there is hard work to do. Yes, of course there is hard work to do. But there is moments where you need to just enjoy and just be free and play for the audience.
Yeah, and this is very important because now we have some experience. We are not the youngest ones here. But when you are studying, you know, and you are like, you first met your teacher and you are trying to do everything to give the best of you and that your teacher says it's good, it's bad. It's so difficult to have this big picture to say, okay, I practiced it, I did it. And after a concert, okay, this went not very well, but it's okay because I have another chance tomorrow. So I think this is, that's why what you are saying is so important for people, especially if they are studying, if they are starting with the studies of music. And there is something you told me when we were talking, we talked with Cristobal about making the podcast and some topics, some themes we wanted to talk about. What happened in this concert when you had to play Capricho Español by Korsakov? How was this experience?
Well, for example, for the people who don't know, Capricho Español from Korsakov, there is a, in the fourth movement, there is a solo, a snare drum solo, a small, long roll with the trumpets. The trumpets play a fanfare and you are rolling the whole time. Then big diminuendo to pianissimo. And then you have to hold this pianissimo roll and comes the violin cadenza.
Which is one of the most difficult things to play on the snare drum, right?
Yeah, and then you keep holding this long soft roll for a long time, which is really hard. And then that's the whole thing. I asked my colleague to play this piece. I could have played another part, but I told him, "Hey, Capricho Español come and said, hey, can I play snare drum?" So yeah, of course. Knock yourself out. And I remember I had to practice. I was like, okay, Capricho's coming. I need to practice. There is a couple other things that came. I was preparing another marimba piece and other things. I did practice. Not as much as I wanted. I wanted to be really, really fit. But I was like, okay, life happens. I did prepare, but well, not as much. The first concert went okay. It went okay because I was really nervous. Your colleagues, there is five percussionists there sitting. They all know exactly how hard is that. And you are playing in front of your percussion colleagues and the rest of the orchestra, and of course the audience, you are playing for all these people. And I start realizing that actually I had to just calm down. I had to just calm down my breathing. Remember to breathe out. And it will just go and it will work. It will work. Then first concert was Friday. I was like, okay, well, it went, had a couple of things. Well, whatever. It's just what happens. Saturday went better. And then Sunday, the last concert, went way better than Saturday. And I was like, I didn't practice so much between Friday and Saturday. I didn't have time. And Saturday, Sunday also, I didn't not practice. The only thing I did different is just I learned how to calm myself down. Just breathe out. I practice. I can do this. In the moment, I remember doing this diminuendo and just breathing out. Is everything okay? Just relax and think about the sea far away. Then comes the violin. Fantastic colleagues playing the violin cadenza. And it's going to work.
And this is, and I would really like to say that this is a system. You build this through time. Because one of the things I know that happens a lot is that you have some performance anxiety and then, okay, now I have to start to thinking in waves and it doesn't, I mean, it could work, but it's always, you have to practice it. You have to practice like you did in the States. To, okay, now I'm going to play, now I'm going to think about something that doesn't have to be related with the playing, but with the emotions, with ideas, with images that help me playing, you know, and you can build this. And that is so important. It's so important to work with the students also in the lessons to build this, you know, to build a space, a safe space for you when you have to play these things, to say, okay, now I'm going to think about this. And I'm sure because you built it during your years, it's like you have the confidence to say,
definitely.
I know this thing. Now I'm going to try to breathe out and I'm going to hear my colleagues and look how fascinating they play. And, you know, and to say, first concert was okay, second was better, third was much better. So this is also a sign of what work does over time. You know, this progress you get over time and not once, but yeah, during time.
I remember Robert Van Zijl saying a lot of the times with things like that, I know that I do that.
I know like, that I do that.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, you know it, but do you practice it? Do you do it? Do you? Because it takes time. I mean, being on stage is like really nerve-wracking for people just like to step on the stage.
Absolutely.
And then with this light and everything, the audience there, to say, okay, now I'm going to do this. I'm going to calm myself. I'm going to relax. That's another step. Like you need to go step by step. Building this confidence, building, I think, is the power or the strength of your mind. The strength of your mind in deciding what you want to do and to give the best results. To say, okay, I practice this. I can do this. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to think about this image. And it's gonna work.
Yeah, it's great. I recently did another episode of the Inner Tech Podcast when I'm talking about guilt. So how guilty we feel musicians the whole time because we think we should have been practicing or we should practice 8 hours or 7 hours or 6 hours. And this is always a feeling of it's never enough. It's never enough. I have to do it. I have to do it. I must, I must, I must. And in this episode, I give an advice to people, I don't know who's going to take it, but to say when you have the sentence, I have to or I must practice 8 hours, let's say 8 hours, to have also the sentence, I already practiced today. I already did what I had for. To fight against this idea of we have to do this, I have to do this, and to say, okay, I did my job. Today, I did what I had to. I wanted to practice 5 hours, and I did it. So I also advise people to make a timeline, to make like an orchestral rehearsal, you know? 2.5 hours, okay, this is my study. I take a break here, take a break here. I leave my phone, and these are the 2.5 hours that I want to practice. And when I finished, I said, I already practiced it. Otherwise, it's this thing, okay, it's never enough. And when you are practicing, you are thinking, yeah, I'm practicing, but I really should be more hours. And I'm talking to you about this because now I'm relating it with Cristóbal. We had work days in Cologne where we play a percussion trio, we rehearse it, and he stayed at my place. I don't know if you remember, but I remember.
Yeah, yeah, of course I remember very clearly.
He stayed at my place, and I told him, okay, we are starting tomorrow at 10. What do you think? Yeah, he said, it's okay. I'm going, before our rehearsal, I'm going to the river to run. And I ran as well, but not as much as Cristobal. And then I asked him, okay, how much did you run? Or how was your track? Where were you? Oh, today I had to do 10 kilometers. And I did 10 kilometers, 1 hour and ready. And now that I'm talking about this, I'm thinking, I don't know if this is with sports like this, that you, because I had the feeling you had to do 10, you did 10, it's over. There is no more, actually I need to do 15, because it's not possible for you to do 15. It's, today is 10, tomorrow is 12 or 5, I don't know. And with music, what I think, it's like, no matter how many hours do you spend, it's always, I should have done more. I should have practiced more. How do you see this between sports and music, or what do you think about it?
It's an excellent question. I mean, I think it starts, art is perfect. Art is perfect. And this perfection, we try to bring it to our studies as a musician, to try to reach this perfection. But we forget that we are humans. We are not perfect. So maybe you can say a human being, a person who is not perfect, could be really good. But I don't think humans are perfect. We make mistakes. This person is dealing with something that is perfect, which is art. And there starts a problem, what you say about the I want to practice 8 hours and I couldn't do it, but maybe I should do more. And when you make it to do 8 hours, you say, but this role didn't sound so well. Maybe I do a bit more. No, I think it's a problem of organization. As a person, you are dealing with something that is so big. You will never, nobody will ever play all the pieces of all the percussion concertos, all the violin concertos. Nobody will do it. You need to limit it and say, how much do you want to do? This is organization. Okay, today I do 5 hours, or I do 4 or 8 or what? I mean, you first need to calculate, okay, you have a rehearsal, you have to teach, you have to eat, you have to sleep. So many things that's life as a person. Then, is it possible first to practice 8 hours? I done in my 8 hours, but not like in a whole week. I mean, if somebody can make it because somebody, I don't know, they cook so they don't have to cook, you know. First of all, it's the question, is it possible? And start counting the hours. And then when it's yes, let's say that it's 5 hours. 5 hours is more likely to do. All right, 5 hours. Then do your 5 hours and be finished. Just go have an ice cream. Go have a coffee. Listen some other music. I listen a lot of jazz and I love jazz. And this is how the same way that works, sports works. When I was training for marathon, I think I was training, I remember perfectly the time. Yeah, I say, okay, I go running, I do 10 kilometers, done, you know. But you need to do that. So in order to, in 2 months, run a half marathon or a full marathon, you need to have these little blocks that they start building this big building. But because when you are in the performance, the audition, or the race, your mind says, okay, I am in easy, and I am in peace with myself because I did this, all these blocks. I have touched this block. I practiced 5 hours. I went running the 10K kilometers. So I'm in peace with myself. And this is like, you need to find this peace with yourself. And of course, do the work, but then enjoy. I think we are here in this world to enjoy life. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. We are not here to just like slap ourselves with working like crazy. I mean, yeah, you can work a lot. I work really hard, but I organize myself that I can do that and also have a life.
Yeah, amazing. And also, one of these things that you said, to make peace with yourself and to have made all these small steps. For me, also one very important steps in the career of a musician, you know, taking the big picture, is to have lived bad concerts and to have lived things that didn't go well and to learn from this, you know. And we are percussionists and we know. And there was this concert where my mallet flew away playing. And this is part of my career. And I'm not a bad musician because of this. Because I meet people and I hear things that, this didn't go well. And I mean, Marta Argerich had for sure concerts where she said, maybe it was not so well. Or, you know, the best artists are where they are because they also have this, let's call it dark side, or let's call it these concerts where things didn't go well. And I think this is also part of this process.
Definitely. I mean, definitely. I had concerts. I remember Brahms 1 when I was in the school in the States. There was the last concert of the season. The hall was packed. I was playing timpani, and there is this three sextolen. It's like almost a barrel. And the third one is different. It's a bit longer. And I came out of this role a bit early. I don't know what it was. The whole orchestra, pam, pam, pam. A complete big solo timpani. Yeah, it happens. I mean, yeah, you are a human. And this makes you, okay, you can just makes you awake. Makes like, oh, okay, you're not perfect. You are not great. You just a human playing an instrument and having a concert. But I'm sure this big monsters of the music, they had mistakes too. It would be great to hear, to listen what they have to say. I mean, yeah. It's a great stories. But it's very important to live this experience so you can say, okay, I'm awake, I'm aware of what happens. I'm not just like, and now I see it back and it's like, we laugh with each other. I mean, it's this great story. But life goes on. Life goes on and you learn from these things.
Amazing. Cristóbal, it's so nice to hear all these things from you. And I think this is for the audience so important to hear the clarity you have when you speak. And when I hear you, I hear a percussionist and I hear a man and I hear somebody who experienced a lot, lived a lot, traveled a lot, suffered a lot with things, of course. And to think that things happened over time and not overnight. It's not I started and I do it, but this process when you make like this marathon or this half marathon and this concert and this big concert and this big passage and to work on it and to trust yourself and to be aware of what you can and what you can't. So for me, it was a pleasure having you here. And I don't know if you want to say something more as a farewell.
Just thank you for you to have me, and it was great to talk to you about all these things.
Great. So I wish you all the best, good luck, and looking forward to hear from you soon.
Yeah, thank you very much, and all the best for you too. Bye bye.
If something in this episode resonated with you, I invite you to take a look at Mental Notes. The link is in the description. There you'll find texts, videos, and short resources that can help you explore these ideas further, and most importantly, space to talk about them. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. See you next time. Take care of yourself. Bye.